Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Abundance by Ezra Klein is a policy-focused argument that the biggest problems in American life are not only about who gets what, but about whether the country can build enough of what people need. Drawing on widely discussed debates around housing shortages, clean energy deployment, infrastructure delivery, and the rising cost of living, the book reframes progress as a supply-side challenge for liberal governance. Instead of treating inequality and scarcity as purely distributive questions, Klein emphasizes the practical barriers that prevent societies from translating good intentions into real-world outcomes. The book speaks to readers frustrated by projects that take too long, cost too much, or collapse under process and veto points. It also challenges the assumption that ambitious goals must be paired with sprawling complexity. Abundance positions building capacity as a moral and political imperative, arguing that effective government should be measured by what it can deliver at scale. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from distribution politics to the politics of building, a core theme is a shift from arguments centered on allocation toward arguments centered on production. Abundance highlights how many contemporary political conflicts are downstream of scarcity, when housing is limited, prices surge, and inequality hardens, when energy infrastructure cannot scale, climate goals collide with reliability and affordability, when transit and public works stall, opportunity concentrates in a few regions. The book's framing suggests that a politics that only redistributes within a fixed pie will repeatedly hit a wall, because the underlying constraint is the shortage itself. This perspective does not dismiss equity concerns, but it recasts them as inseparable from capacity. If the state cannot deliver more homes, more clean power, more childcare slots, or faster permitting, then even well-funded programs disappoint and polarize. The topic also invites readers to examine how modern American governance built many mechanisms to prevent harm and corruption, yet often fails to build what is broadly desired. The result is a paradox: high aspirations paired with low throughput. Abundance argues that restoring legitimacy requires demonstrable competence in making things happen, and that building is not a technical footnote, but a primary arena of democratic promise. Secondly, housing scarcity and the hidden architecture of the cost of living. Housing is presented as a keystone scarcity that amplifies multiple social problems at once. When growing job centers cannot add enough homes, workers face punishing rents, long commutes, and reduced mobility. That dynamic can widen class divides and reinforce geographic segregation, because people with fewer resources are priced out of opportunity. Abundance links these outcomes to the rule structure around development, zoning constraints, discretionary approvals, neighborhood veto points, and layered review processes that make it difficult to add supply even in places that need it most. The issue is not framed as a simple fight between developers and communities, but as a governance design problem, where the default outcome is delay, shrinkage, and risk aversion. Klein's broader point is that the price of housing is not merely a market signal, but a measurement of policy choices. If public priorities include affordability, climate-friendly density, and inclusive growth, then the institutional pipeline must allow those priorities to become physical reality. The topic encourages readers to see housing policy as central rather than peripheral to economic policy, family stability, and political resentment, since scarcity converts everyday life into a zero-sum contest. Thirdly, clean energy and the challenge of scaling the climate transition, Abundance treats climate progress as a deployment problem as much as an innovation problem. While technological advances matter, the decisive test is whether clean power, transmission, storage, and electrified end uses can be built quickly enough to replace fossil systems without destabilizing costs or reliability. The book's lens emphasizes that climate politics often underestimates the friction between ambitious targets and the permitting and procurement machinery required to meet them. Projects can be slowed by fragmented authority, lawsuits, local opposition, and contradictory incentives across agencies and jurisdictions. This creates a situation where climate ambition exists on paper, while the built environment changes too slowly. The argument also complicates traditional environmentalism by acknowledging trade-offs. Protecting landscapes, and ensuring rigorous review are important, yet a failure to build can lock in far worse harms from continued emissions and extreme weather. Abundance pushes readers to consider policy design that makes clean build-out routine, standardized approvals, clearer timelines, grid planning, and public capacity that matches the scale of the task. The broader takeaway is that decarbonization is not only about choosing the right goals, but about reorganizing the state and its processes so those goals translate into actual megawatts, miles of transmission, and resilient communities. Fourthly, why government capacity collapses under process and veto points. A major topic is how well-intentioned safeguards can accumulate into a system that struggles to execute. Abundance describes a pattern familiar to many readers: projects that take years to approve, ballooning costs, and public agencies that are constrained by procurement rules, litigation risk, and fragmented responsibility. The book's argument is not that oversight is bad, but that too many checkpoints without accountable ownership can produce paralysis. When every stakeholder can stop a project and no one is clearly empowered to finish it, the predictable result is delay. Delay itself becomes a cost multiplier, pushing budgets higher and eroding public trust, which then fuels demands for even more controls. Klein's framing highlights the difference between inputs and outputs. Governments can demonstrate diligence through procedures while still failing the public on outcomes. The topic encourages a more functional definition of good governance, where transparency and participation are paired with timelines, measurable deliverables, and feedback loops that penalize chronic underperformance. It also suggests that capacity is a political resource. A government that can build earns permission to attempt bigger things. A government that cannot build will see even popular ideas dismissed as unrealistic. Abundance, therefore, treats institutional reform as central to progressive success, not as a technocratic side quest. Lastly, an abundance agenda, reforms that make outcomes possible, the book's practical orientation points toward a reformist agenda focused on enabling delivery. Abundance-style solutions emphasize simplification, standardization, and speed without abandoning public values. That can mean clearer zoning and by right pathways for housing in high-demand areas, permitting processes with firm deadlines and fewer discretionary choke points that invite endless negotiation. It can also involve procurement and contracting reforms that reward performance, build in-house expertise, and reduce the risk premiums that contractors add when timelines and requirements are uncertain. Another strand is coordination, aligning federal, state, and local incentives so that funding is matched with the authority and staffing needed to execute. The approach also elevates measurement. If programs are judged by how many homes are built, how quickly interconnections happen, or how fast repairs are completed, then agencies have stronger reasons to optimize for outcomes. Abundance suggests that political coalitions should be built around shared material wins, cheaper housing, cleaner air, shorter commutes, and reliable infrastructure. That emphasis on tangible improvements is part of why the concept is compelling. It creates a vocabulary for combining moral aims with operational competence. The agenda is ultimately about making public promises credible again by restoring the state's ability to deliver at scale in a complex, polarized society. In conclusion, Abundance is best for readers who follow politics but feel stuck between big promises and disappointing results, including policy professionals, civic leaders, organizers, and voters who want government to work better. It will also appeal to anyone focused on housing affordability, climate action, infrastructure, or the cost of living because it connects these issues through a single diagnosis: scarcity reinforced by weak capacity to build. The benefit is practical clarity. Instead of treating every conflict as a purely ideological battle, the book trains attention on the systems that turn goals into outcomes, such as permitting, procurement, zoning, and institutional accountability. That shift can change how readers evaluate proposals and coalitions, pushing them to ask whether a plan can actually be delivered at scale and on time. Compared with many political books that emphasize messaging, polarization, or abstract theory, Abundance stands out by concentrating on implementation and the political consequences of competence. It offers a framework that complements, rather than repeats, inequality-focused arguments by showing how building more can reduce pressure across society. For readers tired of symbolic victories and eager for durable improvements in daily life, it is worth buying as a guide to a more materially grounded, results-oriented politics. If you would like to support Ezra Klein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.